السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن
الرحيم. الله أكبر الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة.
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله.
حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
لا إله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأزكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم. صدق الله العظيم. The insan is a very fascinating creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At times, when you look at the human being, so small, yet the impact is so global and so broad, so magnificent. The small brain of the human being can accomplish great things. You read through the pages of human history, and there are these people who shine, who are unstoppable, who had conviction, who harnessed their energy to do things beyond what billions of people who breathe the same air were able to do. How does a human being reach such high potential? How does one human being or a group of human beings yield such great value? There are so many factors that come into play. naturally qabuliyah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you look at the human being, the insan at the center of it, there are some realities that you will find there too. The right foundation will exist. The correct worldview will be in place. The right akhlaq will exist for that human being. If any of these things are out of balance, their ability to benefit humanity begins to tank. So they have to balance these things very carefully, ensuring they don't waste their time with the right wrong knowledge and they dedicate to the correct knowledge. That they're not just going with what they think needs to be done, they're really carefully balancing and reflecting on and studying and taking from mentors and teachers what actually should be done. Someone hands off a vision to them. You will find that their character is balanced, where they have empathy and care for humanity. They understand that the way they wish to be treated must be the way they treat others for meaningful impact. Otherwise, if there is a discrepancy there, one of these interactions will be inhumane. And there will be dhulm on someone, which will pull away whatever barakah was to be in that interaction. Fear is no way to manage a group of people or to bring impact or change. For that, there needs to be genuine empathy and sympathy. That you're able to wake up for another person and raise your hands and cry in front of Allah for the congregation that you lead, for the people that you are responsible over, that they are a part of those moments that your hands are raised, you have that much mahabbah for them. You will find in these people that there isn't an excessive amount of confidence, because that will destroy a person. And neither is there no confidence, because that depletes a person of energy. Their confidence will be just right, where they understand what they're capable of doing, yet not overflowing out of humility and reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, Ya Allah, you guide me. You hold my hand. You take me where I need to go, because I can have all of the qabiliyah, but it will be nothing without your qubuliyah. All the capacity within the human being could be correct, but if there isn't acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something is missing. And one of the most important parts of the human being's machine for this to work, for this factory to output, is at the center, tucked away, is the heart of the insan, the qalb. Until the heart isn't convinced, the human being is limited. There's only so much you can do. For all of this to align, there is a need to give undivided attention to the qalb that lies at the center of you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created this qalb of the insan. It's so powerful, so profound, because once it finds its purpose, once it is purified, once it learns to love in a meaningful way, nothing can stop that human being. No prison, no wall, nothing can stop that person. The hard thing is getting people to love, helping them understand that until you don't turn inward, no matter how beautiful your voice is, or your face is, or how strong you are, or how skilled you are in a sport, all of this doesn't mean anything. No matter how much wealth you have, it doesn't mean anything until first you have truce with your own qalb, your own heart. Otherwise, at the center of that person that everyone is praising is a human being that is quietly crumbling into non-existence. That qalb, that heart needs to be firm. Ya muthabbit al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala dinik. Oh, the one who brings firmness in the heart. Therefore, the act that is connected to the heart is called mahabbah. If you turn to this wazifa of the heart, this loving act, and you go to the roots of that Arabic word mahabbah, it originates from three letters, ha, ba, and ba. The ba has a shadda on it. So that's where you get the word hub from, or the beloved is called hib. Mahabbah, these three words, when you look at them, aslan, they come in the meaning of thabat, luzum. So they would refer to thabat and luzum means to commit, to anchor yourself down somewhere. That you're traveling somewhere and then you find a place and you say, this is appropriate. You anchor it down. You put your pegs in the ground, that this is where I need to be. I can't be moved from here. This is important, that my heart, well, it's qalb, its nature is qalb, like tumbleweed to just turn and twist and go whatever direction the wind takes it. But now mahabbah stops the qalb from taqlib, from moving around. And it forces it to commitment, that no, I need to be here, I need to stop, put myself in this place. And this is one of the differences between meaningful love and, unfortunately, a lot of what we see in today's world in the name of love. What we see today's love, whether it's on the shows, whether it's in movies, or unfortunately in our own families, is self-serving, partial commitments. It's all about what I can take. It's about what I'm going to get. It's very shallow. It's very temporary. That I will stop wherever I see there is a worldly benefit. If someone will do something small for me, I'll be with them. But once they turn against me or do something I no longer desire, I'm not interested in that. It's a tabi'i love. And I say tabi'i here because the ulama, when they look at love, they divide it into two categories. There is that which is tabi'i, which is am. It applies to, tabi'i means natural. This sort of love is common. It applies to human beings, it applies to animals, and everything else that has ability to move and has a heart. An animal loves too. Today it loves this fruit, and if that fruit of that tree continues to produce, it'll continue to eat from there. When the tree no longer produces, the mahabbah of the love of that animal transitions to another tree. And then from there, another tree. It's a very fleeting form of love. But then there is a second form of love that goes beyond the tabi'ah of the insan, the natural innate inclinations of the human being, to what we call ikhtiyari. There is a very conscious moment that a human being commits to, or an act, or a being, and says, this is something that I need. This is someone that I need. And that ikhtiyar is outside of the realm of the haywan, the animal. The animal cannot engage in that act of ikhtiyar. That ikhtiyar is only for the insan, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave aql, qalb, bayan, all of this to the human being, where the human being gets to choose. The human being is able to engage in a rational exercise. So now the brain is constantly churning through information that it receives through the different senses, and it's trying to figure out what the correct moral value is and where there's a positive or negative moral value. What kind of person should I be? What interaction matters? Which relationships have high yielding value and which ones are actually meaningful? What suits me? What doesn't suit me? We're always making those calculations. And as we go through those aqli calculations, now we are pushed to making decisions. And as we make those decisions in life, they have an impact on what we love. So a person that is constantly making decisions in their life that are net positive for a dunyawi outcome, what they will love will also be that. Whatever takes them to that net positive dunyawi outcome. So they will love the car, they will love the home, they will love the vacation, they'll love the new iPhone that's about to drop in 3 days. They'll love all that stuff because it has so much value. It brings joy and happiness. They'll sit there and look at a person's home and smile, drive up and down a street that they have no business being in, that they have, dude's broke, but he's still driving there looking at the houses and smiling that, wow, what would it be like? And there's another person who is constantly thinking about the akhirah. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اُذْكُرُ اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. This person is remembering Allah, thinking of the akhirah. They understand that today's accomplishments don't mean anything if they're not tethered to the ultimate success in the hereafter. A person who's reflecting on every day as a block that leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this step leads to the next step and the one after that, and ultimately all of this connects me to my one true reality, la ilaha illallah, and that I have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no friend and no teacher or no student, no child will be with me. It'll be me standing in front of my Creator, and my Allah will ask me, عن عمره فيما أفناه وعن شبابه فيما أبلاه وعن ماله من أين اكتسبه وفيما أنفقه. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him, tell me about your salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him, tell me about your relationships. Allah subhanahu, all these questions, all the duties that we have in this world, one by one they will come up. And I have to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to answer Allah, I need actions. And in order to have meaningful, sincere actions, I need a heart. And for that heart to do its thing, the mind needs to be processing things in the correct worldview. And a Muslim's worldview is the akhirah. And as long as I'm thinking the akhirah, the heart will be inclined towards that akhirah. And when the heart is inclined towards the akhirah, the amal, the actions that will then come from that heart, will also be akhirah driven. They will be driven towards the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Quran, He calls us towards His love. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. Don't just know your Allah. Don't just say that I worship Allah or I'm a believer. Intellectually, ikhtiyaran, out of your own, you know, volition. Think about this, that what will I do in this dunya or the next without the love of Allah? What if I show up to Allah and Allah says to me that, did you ever love me? Did you ever think about me? Did you ever feel pain at my distance? How did you feel at the end of the week at the thought that you didn't remember me this day? When you were struggling, did I come to your heart? Did I come to your mind? When the world was tugging you in different directions, when you were crumbling under the pressure of work and family and health, was I with you? Or did you walk away from me? Because there is no existence without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of this, the fact that this earth remains exactly where it is without pulling inwards or outwards, and the gravity forces that hold it in place are nothing short of perfection. Then within that earth, there is this beautiful dunya we live in that has gorgeous trees and canyons and mountains and beautiful gardens and rivers flowing of all the colors that the eye could enjoy exists within this dunya. And then within all of that beauty, second to none in this solar system, in this galaxy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the beauty of this dunya, created the insan. Second to none. And then within this insan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this insan could have been so ajeeb. We could have been so different. There could have been 100 million, infinite number of possibilities of what you and I were. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave that insan aql. He gave that insan a qalb, a heart. He gave that insan a tongue to speak. He gave that human being hands and feet to move around. He gave that insan a forehead to do sajda in front of him. He gave that insan ears so we can hear the muadzin say to us, Hayya ala salah, come to success. Everything out there is a little wild. Hayya ala falah, come to success. Come to salah. Come to tawheed. Come to shahada. Come to Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. After all of this mahabba, and after all of this kindness, the insan is still conflicted on who to love and who not to love. Ah, the irony in that. How did this happen? How did that happen? Did we stop seeing? لَهُمْ قُلُوبُ اللَّهِ يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. Did we stop feeling? Did we stop listening? Have we become that blind? You talk about magic and delusion and dajjal. The West, over the last 300, 400 years, has pulled off the greatest trick of humanity. We've all been duped. They casted over us the sheet of materialism and made human beings forget about their creator. Locked them into some fascinating little system of theirs, this hamster that we, the pets, have been put into. Run, 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 with no outcome awaiting you. Forget why Allah created you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you for His mahabba. He created you for His love. And to teach you how He should be loved, to teach you how He should be worshipped, to teach you how He should be remembered, He sent to this dunya the most perfect human being, whose scent was more beautiful, was more sweet than anything in this dunya, whose smile brought joy to the saddest of hearts, whose presence brought warmth to those that were out stranded and shivering, whose presence was light for a deep, dark world, who entered into this dunya and came down from the mountain and went to his wife Khadija radiallahu anha and said to her, I have been granted the crown of prophethood. It's time to do this. And Khadija radiallahu anha says, I'm with you. And the two of them start this journey. Ups and downs, loss of family, loss of life, torture, struggle. It's so much easier to just give up and do what we do. Why don't I just bury myself in my job and bury myself in my work and my education? But the Prophet of Allah saw a dream that these followers of mine, this family of mine, these human beings, need to be taught what love is. And I will show them how to love Allah. I will show them how to be obedient to Allah and how for the heart to be committed to Him, regardless of the thunderstorm that surrounds you or the tornado that you sit right in the eye of. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ The love of a believer can never be stopped. You can't decrease it, you can't cut it, you can't stifle it. It's so profound, it's so powerful. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, over this journey of 23 years, he guides mankind, and every person he touches, every person he sees, those who believe in him, those who join him on this journey, become an extension to the legacy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And through history, as you travel for 1400 years, whether it's in some Java island, or whether it's some Saharan desert, or whether it's some thick jungle in Asia, all of these people, wherever they are, as they connect to the Prophet of Allah, they become shining stars and guiding lights for humanity to follow until the Day of Judgment. If you see one of them, you'll know what you're looking at. They're very few. But when you see them, hold on to them. Because there are a lot of illusions in today's world. Reality is rare because not too many people are willing to commit to it and pay the price for reality. Muhabba isn't cheap. It comes at a cost. One of my teachers used to say to us that you guys look at us today, we sit here, give durus and lectures, but there was a time in our life that we were tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his exact words, Sheikh Mubin's here, he knows. He said, "Humne baghair dal ki dal khayi." That there was a time in our life that Allah really tested us. What was supposed to be food wasn't even food, but we had to eat it because the heart and mind called for some food. So we would dip our bread in there and eat it. It comes with a challenge. Open Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghuddah Safahat min Sabr al-Ulama. And look at the challenges and struggles these ulama had to face. Where they would sit together, four muhaddithun sitting together, giants. They're all sitting together and no one has any food, no one has anything to eat. And they make an intention that maybe one will go to work while the other study. And as the next morning comes in, person comes and knocks on the door and says, "The leader, the king of the time, has sent a gift for you guys. He saw a dream and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him to take care of you." La ilaha illallah. The sacrifices of these people. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi does wida' to his mom and dad at the age of 16 in Hajj. And then he doesn't see them for decades because he's dedicating his life to studying this deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Learn to love the Prophet of Allah. We are in the month of Rabiul Awwal. And this has been a month historically where people rethought what their heart was doing. They reignited that love for the Prophet of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. It's where families got together before their children were put to sleep, in particular in this month, and they would send salawat upon the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. They would open up a seerah book and they would read through the biography of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. Where every person would, you know how they have November this month and beard month and mustache month and, you know, dopey month. Every month they're trying to revive some tradition. Where Muslims in this month would say this is a month for us to revive the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So use these days of this month to connect with the Prophet of Allah. Think about the impact the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had on the companions. Love is not something intangible. I don't want you to think this is some mystical, philosophical concept I'm speaking of. In our deen, there are very hard, easy ways. When I say hard, I mean objective. These are hard things. They're not just soft ideas. Very objective ways that you can increase your love for the Prophet of Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us, "Send salawat upon me. For the one that sends the most salawat upon me will be closest to me on the Day of Judgment." The Arabs would say, "Man ahabba shay'an akthara dhikrahu." Whoever loves something remembers it abundantly. You know, when I visit Muslim countries, you will find an old frail lady or old frail man that's sitting at some store under a shutter selling some, you know, small humble products behind. The guy probably doesn't know too much about business or finances, doesn't have some advanced degree from Kellogg or anything like that, but he's sitting there and doing salawat upon the Prophet. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad. La ilaha illallah. How simple and beautiful were these people? How simple. They would have these dusty books with thin paper full of du'as they would read every morning. You guys know what I'm talking about? They don't know what's in there. A lot of times, unfortunately, bid'at as well. But that's not the point. The point right now is their commitment, their devotion. That they knew what had to be done and they did it. This nation has learned too much, and that's come at a cost of us losing our actions. We've become too smart for ourselves, unfortunately. A part of love is intellectual, but so much of love, going back to the origins of that word, involves just committing that I'm going to do this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "One of you cannot be a complete believer until I am more beloved to him, hatta akuna habba ilayhi min walidihi wa waladihi wa nasi ajma'in." Until I am more beloved to him than his father, than his child, and all of mankind. And the muhadithun say, why did the Prophet of Allah mention father first, child second? Even though naturally the child is loved more by the father than the child, than the father will ever be loved by the child. Everyone loves their child more, and no matter how much the children say, Baba, I love you more than you love me, it's nonsense. The parent will, mi'a fil mi'a, always love their child more. Intahal kalam, that's it. But why is there taqdeem here? Because every human being has a father, not everyone has a child. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's message appeals to everyone. Hatta akuna ahabba ilayhi min walidihi wa waladihi wa nasi ajma'in. You need to love the Prophet of Allah. You live in a world where prophets are not loved, they're not even mentioned. People don't care for them, they barely care for God. But a Muslim's identity lies in that. This, you cannot be robbed of this. Because if your prophet is taken away from you, your revelation is taken away from you, then how do you know what your worldview is? Where will you find examples? Where will you anchor yourself when your ship begins to rock? Who will you go to? Whose life will you reflect on? Whose legacy will you take from when you're sad and when you've lost someone and when you're in pain? Turn on the TV and look at these bozos? You're going to go look at what these people have to offer? أَأَتُرُكُ سُنَّةَ حَبِيبِي لِهَؤُلَاءِ الْحُمَقَى. For these fools? Am I going to leave this rich legacy that people lived and died for? That on their deathbed, Bilal radiallahu anhu is saying that, ah, what a beautiful day, finally I will be with the Prophet. This is muhabba, my friends. You don't know how difficult life must have been for Bilal after the Prophet. But love isn't quitting. That's what Bilal teaches us. Love isn't about quitting. It's about commitment, thabat wal luzum. It's about sticking firm that if I loved him, I will live by his legacy. And 1,400 years from now, a group of ragtag Muslims will gather together in Carrollton, Texas, and remember my story of love. That tomorrow I will be with the Prophet. Every day since he left, I had to remind myself what I was doing and why I was doing it. So I conclude today's khutbah with this reminder for us all. Look for true love. Look for love that is connected to its root. Look for love that involves change in your life, that is more than just words and thoughts, that results in actions, that you can lean on when your heart is at unrest. Love that motivates you and encourages you. Love for Allah. Love for His Prophet. Love for the Quran. Love for the righteous. Love for standing in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us all. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inna allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala sayyidina Ibrahim wa ala ali sayyidina Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حياء عثمان وقضاهم علي رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما يا رب العالمين اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا واصرف عنا برحمتك شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت فلك الحمد على ما قضيت ولك الشكر على ما أنعمت به وأوليت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك وصلى الله على النبي الأمي سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين أقم الصلاة
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله